The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
This is Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Mark Mancini, Sal Tartaglia, and Marianne Castello. Talking everything sports, everything Philly style. Liberty Bell Smack, right here. Right now. Good evening. You're listening to Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. We're going to have that lip smack in trash talking good Philadelphia style. We're here every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's primetime drive time for you in the East. And I am Marianne Castello, your host of Liberty Bell Smack. And you can listen five ways, whichever works best for you. You can tune in to WWDB AM Talk 860 right out of Philadelphia. You're not in Philly, no worries. You can find us on HD2 radio station 97.5, or you can listen to us anytime, anywhere by downloading the WWDB radio app or go to WWDBAM.com. Click listen live. Not good enough? You could call in to listen or even talk to us and join our show with our guests at 888-329-3306. And without further ado, he's waiting in our green room. He is a broadcast vet, born in Pittsburgh, but raised in sunny LA. You know him from his years in the rink with Extreme Professional Wrestling on TV. He's got over 17 years behind the mic, from San Diego to Los Angeles, with Sirius XM, the SB Nation American Forces Network, and now Philly on WWDB AM, as well as the Saucy Spin online radio show and the Breaking It Down podcast. If it's sports, he's done it, or he knows all about it. Let's welcome our host, Mark Mancini. Hey, Mark.
Wow, the best moderator in the business, you, Marianne. Man, this is the most must-hear radio show sweeping the country on Thursdays. So blessed to be a part of it. The guests, Sal, you. Man, this is going to be great today. Light the lamp.
Absolutely like the lamb. And speaking of lambs, we have one of our own sitting right there in Philly in the station. He is a product of the schools and playing fields of Drexel Hills, Delaware County, by way of Southwest Philadelphia. He's been in the Navy. He's been in the construction industry and was a nuclear medicine tech. And while doing all of that, he even had time to compile over 30 years of highlights and stats of World Series games and published his first book, World Series Chronology. While doing press for the book, he developed a taste for broadcasting, and here he is. Let's welcome our host, Sal Tartaglia. Hey, Sal.
Hey, Mayor. Hey, Philly. You're right, Mark. That's the best introduction that I'll ever get.
Oh, yeah.
I could have used you a lot on job interviews and such. I probably would have got them.
Well, you are sweet. I mean, we have a great show today. I'm very excited to be back. But one thing I do want to say is I just want to send out condolences to the families. If you guys have heard that Tony Siragusa from the Baltimore Ravens and all passed away yesterday suddenly at the age of 55. And it's a personal one to home because his grandmother was my father's godmother, and Tony Siragusa and all. Yeah, and I know that their family and all may be listening, so I just want to wish our condolences and pass them on and to just say how sorry we are and that we've lost a legend in the sports.
Too young.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I did want to mention that while we were here, but also to know we have wonderful guests holding on the phone, so let's get to our commercial sponsors, and we will be right back to get right to them.
Hey, Gina, what's the same but different, old but new, and gives you a familiar feeling?
The t-shirt you're wearing with all the holes in it?
Nice. No, it's the all-new Delco Cup. It's Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. It's like 50 years old, Gina. That's as old as me.
Yeah, the Delco Cup. New look, new management. You're 51, Mickey. So I take it you want to go?
Kinda, but I know it's Thursday and it's Lady's Choice, so...
Okay, well, if it's Lady's Choice, Mickey, I choose a new t-shirt for you to wear.
The all-new Delco Cup, Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar, 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn, but not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. from full body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft. Call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
This is Chandrika. I am the author of Lord, I Don't Want to Die a Christian, and I am coming to Philadelphia one day. And while I'm there, I'm going to listen to Liberty Bell Smack and smack on a Philly cheesesteak.
And we are back right here on Liberty Bell Smack for some lip smack in trash talking good Philadelphia style. And Mark, Sal, are you ready for our guest today?
Absolutely.
Wow, this is huge today. They're all huge, but this one's a good one too, man. They're right up there, man. Absolutely. We keep getting all these A-listers, man. We're blessed.
I know we are blessed to have him on, and I don't want him waiting any longer because I know he's not on video because we are on Facebook Live right now at WWDBAM's Facebook page. Because he has to have a happy life and a happy wife, is from what I understand. A happy wife is a happy life if you're in the car. So he's joining us today via phone because of that. So are you guys ready?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. Our guest resides and works out of Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, and has been covering and writing about sports for various outlets for over 35 years. He attended Geneva College in 1985 and earned his Bachelor of Arts degree in English and Communications. While he was still in college, he began his career as a sports writer for the Beaver County Times, located northwest of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where his main beat was the Pittsburgh Pirates for over 20 years. He also covered the Pittsburgh Penguins and Pittsburgh Steelers. As an established writer for the Beaver County Times since 1982, as well as Baseball America since 1990, he joined the Baseball Prospectus staff in February 2007 as its first beat writer. He covered news and inside dope on organizational activities and all of the Major League Baseball by writing two byline columns titled On the Beat and Every Given Sunday. This led him to join the staff of the online basketballprospectus.com in November 2007, which he wrote regular columns titled Around the Rim and On the Beat. He did so well early in his career that he was named as the Baseball Writer of the Year in 2001 by what is now ESPN, and he served as the official scorer for the 2006 MLB All-Star Game, which was held in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His work has appeared in USA Today, ESPN.com, SI.com, Forbes.com, The Associated Press, Baseball Digest, Baseball America, The Washington Post, The Philadelphia Inquirer, FanRag Sports, and DKPittsburghSports.com, and so much more. Our guest also has two film credits for appearing as himself on ESPN Sports Century in 2001 and ESPN 25, Who's Number One, in 2005. His athletic claim to fame was hitting a home run off of John Burkett in Pony League and giving up a home run to Terry Francona in high school. Burkett won 166 games as a major league pitcher, and Francona managed the Boston Red Sox to two World Series titles. In 2018, he was inducted into the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame for writing, not playing baseball. He's been a member of the Baseball Writers Association since 1988 and has been a Baseball Hall of Fame voting committee member since 1998. He's covered 22 World Series from 1995 to 2016, 21 All-Star Games, and two Super Bowls. After all this, he has no time for hobbies. He enjoys Arby's fast food and is joining us in Philly to gather some smack for his next article with his new beat, the Liberty Bell. Let's welcome John Perotto to Liberty Bell Smack. Hey, John.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Are you enjoying the car ride?
Kind of. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
John's trying to find an Arby's on the Roberto Clemente Bridge, the Strip District, or Station Square, one of those three. But I will tell you something, John. You give me that All-Star game that I haven't been able to get to yet. I'm going to try to get this year. You get me that World Series, and I'll get all the Arby's you want.
Okay. That sounds like a good deal. Make that deal.
Hey, you know, when you look at the Pittsburgh Pirates, I mean, you know, in the 70s, they were totally domination back and forth with the Phillies. I think that was an era of baseball where it was one of the best. You had the Reds, the A's, the Dodgers. And then, you know, after 79, we saw the whole thing go down in Pittsburgh for about 7 years. We had the Marvell Wins, Joe Orsolex go through there. The Pirates were rumored to move to, you know, Colorado before the Rockies got there. And then it went a long drought before we had Gerrit Cole, McCutcheon, Polanco, Marte. And now we're going through another stretch. But you know what? I like it right now because now we're signing these guys and we're building towards, which I think, and it's a personal opinion, towards like what the Houston Astros built. I think we're 2 years removed from building something. Take us through when you first saw the, you know, you're right there up close. I'm afar with this team. But man, oh man, I like the excitement. I like the PNC Park. I think it's one of the best in baseball. What's your thoughts on this team moving forward and in the past?
Well, you know, if you want to go back to the past, when the Pirates won the World Series in 1979, the Galbraith family still owned the team. John and his son Dan ran the team. And then John passed away and Dan got older and he wanted to step away from the day-to-day duties of baseball. And they sold the team in 86. And they almost moved, like you said, and the mayor of Pittsburgh, Richard Calagiri, put together a public and private combination consortium to put together an offer to save the team, which helped save the team. But unfortunately, they were underfunded for baseball ownership. And then they sold the team to Kevin McClatchy in 1995. And Kevin really wanted to win. He was a good guy. And by normal people's standards, he was a rich person. But by a rich person's standards, he wasn't a rich person, a real rich, rich person. So he ran the operation on a shoestring for most of the time because that's all he could afford. And then they sold the team to Bob Nutting, the current owner, in 2007. And, you know, it's been a mixed bag. They've had a few good years and they've had a few really bad years. And now they're hoping after a few bad years with a lot of rookies, they currently have, I believe it's 9 rookies on the major league roster, rookies and other kids who are still coming through the farm system. What they're hoping to do is piece together and a puzzle that ends up being a championship team. And, you know, they have a lot of good looking kids. Some of the ones that have come to the major leagues certainly have been very intriguing. There's others that aren't in the major leagues yet that a lot of scouts from other teams, you know, the analysts that rate the prospects like the Baseball America magazine, MLB.com, their pipeline website, you know, Baseball Prospectus, a lot of them rate these Pirate Rook prospects pretty highly and rate the Pirates farm system among the best in the game. So that's really what the Pirates are banking on, because Bob Nutting's kind of shown he's not going to spend big money on free agents or trade for a high salary player. So what the Pirates have to do is put together a team with a lot of guys before they start making a lot of money when they're on their early contracts to their career, and hopefully be able to put a team together before they all get expensive and they can't put them together anymore. But there's certainly been some excitement here in the last few weeks with the play of some of the young kids.
Yeah, let me throw one more and I'll give it over to Sal. You know, we look at Pittsburgh and it's always been a football town, but the Penguins, you know, and I can remember when the Penguins drew 5,000 in the old igloo, nobody was really showing up to see them till Mario Lemieux came with, you know, Jaromir Jagr and saved those guys. And we've seen the Sidney Crosby and everything. But, you know, with the Pirates, they're exciting. You know, 7th best minor league system in baseball. You know, and recently it came out that the 5 teams in baseball that had the lowest attendance figures were Oakland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Miami, and Tampa. And I'm saying to myself, God, if I'm in Pittsburgh now, I'm going to that game every night to watch these young kids. Why is Pittsburgh battling attendance problems here these days?
Well, I think for one thing, Bob Nutting's lost the trust of a lot of fans. You know, he made remarks when they did have the good teams, mid-2010s. We want Andrew McCutcheon to be a Pirate for life. And then, of course, they traded him a few years later. They really, when they did go to the playoffs, 13, 14, and 15, They made no attempt to keep any of those poor players. They traded them or let them walk as free agents. And so that's why I think the fans here aren't ready to put their hearts completely into this rebuild, because they're skeptical if this rebuild does work out and they have a good team for a few years, that they feel that Bob Nutting and the Pirates won't try to retain any of these young kids for long haul. And so it's a little hard to get attached to players when you know they're not going to be here for very long. And that's what the fans are going through now. And I blame it all on the owner, Bob Nutting, who refuses to open his checkbook and sign a big check.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm curious what he'll do, because I believe the team is starting to trend in the right direction. But, I mean, let's face it, they had nowhere to go but up. But and I'm not trying to be snide or anything. But going back to when you were talking about in the 80s, after that 79 World Series and they started to become a bad team, Mark had mentioned they were rumored to move to Colorado. I thought there was another move that they were talking about, going to Tampa Bay, and it made perfect sense because the Buccaneers, the Pirates, you know what I mean? There was a lot of talk about them moving to Tampa Bay, too, if I recall. And, of course, before McClatchy got it, and you had a couple of really good National League Championship Series they were involved in, you know, and you had Van Slyke and everybody. But you were in the process of getting rid of Bonds, even though nobody knew it at the time during the mid and late 80s. So, you know, things were really bad there then. But I'm curious what Bunning's going to do, because you got this guy, and I'm sure a lot of people are aware of it. You spoke about your farm system being one of the best in the game. And the shortstop that you just brought up, record-setting for his height, 6'7", a 6'7 shortstop. His name's O'Neill Cruz. And through 54 games, he's got 7 doubles, 3 triples, 9 homers, 40 runs, 335 RBIs, 11 stolen bases. I mean, if this guy, you know, slows down a little bit, he's still going to be a great – and your second baseman, that guy Young – you know, even though they're not doing a lot, they went out and swept the Dodgers there for a minute and gave Mark a little bit of help, especially because of his hate of L.A. But since then, I mean, they've been showing up on top 10 on ESPN, the top 10. So, you know, there's little tiny things, but this Cruz is the goods, man. Go ahead.
He really is. I mean, he's a fascinating player. Like you said, he's 6'7". He's the tallest player in Major League history ever to play shortstop, and he's very, very talented. He has a lot of raw power. He reminds you physically of Daryl Strawberry, who, of course, everyone remembers from the Mets in the 80s and the 90s. He's very reminiscent of him physically, except instead of a right fielder, he's a shortstop. He has great power. He has extremely good speed. He has long legs, and he can really run. And he's got a tremendous arm. The other night, the StatCast, they measure all the different velocities and what have you. On a play he made at first base, the guy threw out from shortstop. His arm is the throw was clocked at almost 98 miles an hour. So, so the guy really has, you know, like the scouts would say, has all the tools.
Right.
Exactly. And, and it looks like, he has a pretty good idea of how to use them. And he's still only 23, so he's a young guy. And he potentially has the chance to be a real superstar-type player in the major leagues.
Yeah, and being only 23, I'm going to bring us back. I don't know if you were exactly that age, but back in your youth, when you finally got a break to become the beat writer for the Beaver County Times, that must have been like – You made it. It was like a dream come true. Like you're covering a big league team and not just school sports, right? Then you feel great about that.
Yeah, I did. And I was 24, and it was a big moment for me in my career, not only in my career but in my life. And it turned out to be a life changing moment in all aspects, professionally, personally. And here I am, 34 years later. Still covering baseball, not necessarily as an everyday beat man, but as a columnist and feature writer and what have you. So it was quite a memorable day. And I remember my boss telling him, just kind of as an aside, we were having a conversation about something unrelated. He goes, "No, by the way, you're going to be our Pirate beat guy next year. You're going for spring training in February." And I'm like, "What?" So that's how it all came down.
I hear you. Right before we go to break, I just want to say that's exactly how I felt when I met Mark and Marianne. I made the big time.
You know, talk about he's on the beat. Well, we're going to keep it upbeat, and we will be back with Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Marianne Costello, Mark Mancini, and Sal Tartaglia right after this.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn, but not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft. Call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
Hey Gina, what's the same but different, old but new, and gives you a familiar feeling?
The t-shirt you're wearing with all the holes in it?
Nice. No, it's the all-new Delco Cup. It's Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. It's like 50 years old, Gina. That's as old as me.
Yeah, the Delco Cup. New look, new management. You're 51, Mickey. So I take it you want to go?
Kinda, but I know it's Thursday and it's Lady's Choice, so...
Okay, well, if it's Lady's Choice, Mickey, I choose a new t-shirt for you to wear.
The all-new Delco Cup. Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield.
Hey, this is Dan Good, and when I'm in Philadelphia, I listen to Liberty Bell Smack.
And we are back on Liberty Bell Smack on WWDB AM Talk 860. We are still having that lip smacking, trash talking good time in Philadelphia style with John Perotto, and he's going to remain with us. But guys, are you ready? Because our next guest is in the hot seat. He's been sitting there waiting patiently in the green room. I'd love to bring him on. Are you guys ready for this?
Absolutely.
We're definitely ready. You can't talk Pirates without bringing the Phillies involved.
We're going to try to do this another Liberty Bell Smack style. Here we go. Our guest has earned a bachelor's degree in marketing from Bryant University and attended graduate school at Boston College. After graduate school, he joined Trident Communications, where he was instrumental with contract negotiation with movie studios. He was able to negotiate a $40 million pay-per-view hotel television business across New England. After that, he joined AT&T Broadband, known today as Comcast, as community relations manager, then was promoted to the director of marketing. In 2001, he took all his creativity, marketing, and negotiation knowledge and established the Sports Baseball Network. As president of the company, he has continued to grow that network by continuously adding rights to teams such as the Boston Red Sox and the Philadelphia Phillies, making it the leader in Spanish language baseball, broadcasting, and marketing development. The Sports Baseball Network works with the majority of MLB teams that currently produce Spanish radio broadcasts, with its scope of work encompassing production, sales, market, development, and promotional partnerships. In 2012, adding to the Spanish Sports Network, the Spanish Football Network was founded that includes Spanish language speaking broadcasts of the Philadelphia Eagles. He loves wine, has over 70 countries stamped on his passport, and goes by the name of Gringo Malo, and is here today in Philly to talk some Spanish smack. Para nuestros fan españoles, desmosle una gran bienvenida a Liberty Bell Smack, William Kolick. Para nuestros fan ingleses, for our English fans, let's have a big Liberty Bell Smack welcome to William Kolick. Hey, William, how are you?
Living the vida loca.
I love it.
Wow. William, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I'm in L.A. We got some of the best Mexican food out here. Carne asada, the quesadillas. Yeah. I don't know where to even start. But, I mean, you traveling around the country and seeing these places, where's some of your best hangouts for that kind of food?
Well, for Mexican food, it's either Arizona or San Diego, L.A. area. I mean, there's nothing. And I mean nothing here in the East Coast that comes from that. Now, if you want a good Dominican chivo or something, you can come up here to New York, Philly area, and we'll really put a nice plate out for you. But Mexican food is Arizona, San Diego, L.A., that area.
Wow, this is going to be good talking to the Phillies. I know Sal will get in here with the Eagles momentarily, but I want to talk about Jaime Jaron out here in L.A. Who was your mentor? man, I think that's extraordinary. Have it doing the Spanish side of things there in the East Coast with the Phillies. I mean, how is it picked up out there? And is it rolling to the point where it's, you know, like out here in LA and stuff where people just tune in left and right? I mean, that is remarkable what you're doing.
Yeah, I think the other night we had 9 different countries on, you know, because we're also streamed as well as the local broadcast. We were streamed to 9 different countries in our post-game show. It's like, this is cuckoo. I mean, one of them was in Spain and it had to be 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what the heck are you doing awake listening to the Gringo Malo at 3 o'clock in the morning? But yes, it's growing every day. Jaime is a legend. He's you know, one of the originators of this. The Dodgers, obviously, in one of the top 2 Hispanic markets. My mentors are more on the English side. I mean, especially once I broke into broadcasting, I can remember I signed a contract with the Boston Red Sox. We were having a Comcast meeting at Fenway Park, and we were getting the usual tour behind the scenes and all that sort of stuff. And the Red Sox had just acquired Pedro Martinez.
Yeah.
And I heard Dan Duquette yelling at his staff that they had no Hispanic initiative going on. And so I swear to God, I broke away from my group, walked into Dan Duquette's office and said, Dan, I've got a marketing degree. I'm fluent in Spanish. I'm an ex-baseball player. I can solve your problem. And he said, son, sit right down. And we cut a deal watching the Red Sox-Yankee game on the back of an envelope.
Wow.
That's how it all kind of started. Great story. I remember coming into my dad saying, Dad, I'm going to go start my own little business. And my dad said, the Red Sox are going to call you. And, you know, the next thing, John Henry's calling on the phone. And my dad said, this guy, John Henry, wants to talk to you. I'm like, yeah, I told you, Dad, they were going to call. And off we went.
God, I'll tell you, I'll throw one more and I'll give it over to Sal and get John in this conversation, get a fatal four-way going. But yeah, talking to Tim Neverett a couple of weeks ago, he was telling me when he was in Colorado, just set a tape to the Pirates. And, you know, you never know where these opportunities are coming. I always say money comes and goes. Relationships are priceless. And I'll tell you that relationship you guys have in Philadelphia, you can bash the hell out of that baseball there, man. That's exciting baseball.
Yeah.
How you just got to get that pitching to stop the opposition. Any thoughts?
And it's not even the pitching, it's the bullpen.
Right.
It's the bullpen and the defense. That's our Achilles heel. Right. I mean, we got, you know, any team would love to have Nolan Wheeler at the front of the rotation. And if Kyle Gibson's your 5th starter, you're doing okay. The problem is, you know, we turn the nowadays the pitchers, I call it 5 and dive or 6 and dive. And, you know, then we go over to the bullpen and the bullpen's been a problem and our defense is horrific. So, we are what we are. I think we'll be in the playoff hunt. I'm not so sure we'll make it, but we'll definitely be pushing towards that. It's a fun team to watch. And, you know, hopefully we'll make it.
But you're right. It's a fun team to watch. And the pen is definitely our Achilles. I mean, since June, I mean, after we fired Girardi, Rob Thompson, who I'm pretty knowledgeable in the game, but I had no idea he had 33 years in the game, 27 of them in the Yankees organization. So this guy's no slouch. He knows what he's doing. I love the way he's playing fundamental ball. The other night, it was 1st and 2nd. It was late in the game. I think we were tied or down a run. And Didi was up, and he wanted to bunt the guys to 1st and 2nd. And I'll do that with Babe Ruth. I don't care because anything scores the winning run after that. An error, right. A pass ball, anything. So he bunted, and he bunted foul. So, of course, now they took it off. So the next pitch he took, it was a ball. So to me, I'm saying, well, you know, it's 1-1. It's the same as having an even count, 0-0. You had the bunt on then, have it on again. Didn't think they would do it. They tried it again. It didn't work. But then Didi wound up having an RBI double after, so it all worked out. But my point is, Thompson made that call. You don't see that in today's game. You just don't see it. And I love this thing that happened since they came. It was contagious. I mean, they brought kids up. They started playing good ball. Harper was himself, of course. Kyle Schwarber just started to do his normal June thing. Since he took over, this guy, they came within one game of 3 straight sweeps. During that 8-game winning streak, they won 5 straight World Series, what 5 straight series. But during that 8-game streak before they lost, these are things that stand out that are really important. And then I'll tell you why it didn't matter at the very end. They scored 57 runs and only allowed 19 during that 8-game winning streak. They finally beat the Marlins, which even when we're good, we just can't seem to beat them for like a decade. They finally got them, so that sent a message. And it wasn't just the way that they were winning. It was the way they were winning. Excellent starts, come from behind, game-tying home runs, extra inning walk-offs. It was all kind of stuff. Before we went to Washington, we were 6-14 against the NL East. Bad news. And yep. Since then, we're 10-19, which isn't great, but it's way better. But here's the thing. All that don't mean crap until we get rid of Familia, number one. In Texas, he gave up not one, two-run homers in the eighth inning. I mean, come on, man. What, is inning eater? Is that what you need? I can do that, you know. And we went 15 in June, 15-2. But guess what? The Braves went 16-2. I mean, and the Mets are on fire. So to have this kind of a streak, you know, we're relevant again. We're noticeable. But usually that makes you king of the hill. You leapfrog people. So this is the type of friggin' thing is going on right now. Everybody's playing great. I hope Adam Painter continues to be the guy he is in the minors because he's throwing 100 miles an hour. He's got 42 Ks and 18 pitches in Clearwater. And I don't know if they have him marked to be a starter or not, but we need pen help now.
He's marked to be a starter. He got bumped up to high A ball. Okay. So he's now pitching for the Jersey Shore team. Okay. The rotation in that Jersey Shore team is unbelievable. Not only is Painter there, but Mike Gable's there. And there's this kid, and I'm trying to look for him right now. His name is Griff McGeary. Put that name on your radar screen. He has 71 strikeouts in 40 innings. He's averaging 15 strikeouts per game. He's out pitching Painter and Abel, both the first round draft picks and everything. Wow. And the kid's on fire. Wow. All four of the starters in that Jersey Claw team are to be reckoned with. You were talking about the Pirates minor league system, and you just mentioned the Marlins. Watch out for the Marlins minor league system. They are so loaded with pitching. It's not funny. And then it'll be interesting to see how Dan Duquette Dombrowski manages the trading deadline, because he's got prospects. They're all in the lower levels, but he's loaded at catcher and pitcher. Does he want to give away those assets to try to help the Phillies win now? And I would not want to be in his seat. He will be in the hottest seat around, because if you trade O'Hop, who's the catching prospect, or you trade Andrew Painter, and they turn into the next Tom Seaver or Johnny Bench, right, you're going to be in big trouble. But on the other hand, the Phillies need some help. So how far are you willing to push the envelope? And we'll see. Well, but people don't discount the Phillies minor league system. I wouldn't.
I don't think Middleton's going to let this year go to waste, or Harper's numbers that he's putting up. I don't think he's going to let that go by the wayside. Our staff is pretty good. I think wasn't too long ago, maybe not even a week, we were the third best ERA in baseball, not just the National League, in baseball. All four other teams were all like Houston, New York, all teams gone places. Yep. And we were the only team that really had a bad record. But our staff isn't bad. We got to do something with this pen, and it's got to be done now.
Yeah, they got to work out the pen. And when they do, they'll be in contention. That's for sure.
Yep. I agree.
Maybe John has a question. John, are you taking a break with that horsey radish sauce on the Arby's?
No, I'm waiting after the show. I thought it would be rude while I was on the air. So
they still sell curly fries? They still
I'm like the new crinkle fries, so they're pretty good. They're pretty good. It's a tough call now between crinkle and curly. You got to flip a coin.
Right.
But anyway, my question about the Phillies is, Joe Girardi was managing. They were struggling. They seemed like a team going nowhere. They seemed like a team from afar that was having maybe a little friction internally. And it seems like once they fired Joe and promoted Rob Thompson from bench coach, the whole atmosphere just changed around that team in the last few weeks. And I was wondering why that is.
I think the three or four kids just caught fire, and that got to be contagious. And the ones you expected it from got hot again too. When like Castellanos goes cold, you can carry that. That doesn't really matter. It's not as glaring. It's not as obvious. The kids is what happened. They got hot, and everybody looked around and went, wow, I'm making $36 million a year, and this kid's just coming up, and he's doing better than us. So I think it got contagious and embarrassed them because they are a hell of a lineup. They are a hell of a staff. They play some suspect defense from time to time. But if they fix that pen, I think we're going to make noise. That's so obvious.
Well, you know what I know is obvious and contagious? Listening to Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. And we will be back right after these messages with our special guest, John Perotto and William Kolick.
Hey, Gina, what's the same but different, old but new, and gives you a familiar feeling?
The t-shirt you're wearing with all the holes in it?
Nice. No, it's the all-new Delco Cup. It's Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. It's like 50 years old, Gina. That's as old as me.
Yeah, the Delco Cup. New look, new management. You're 51, Mickey. So I take it you want to go?
Kinda, but I know it's Thursday and it's Ladies' Choice, so...
Okay, well, if it's Ladies' Choice, Mickey, I choose a new t-shirt for you to wear.
The all-new Delco Cup, Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar, 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn. But not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft, call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
Hi, this is Tarik Brock, first base coach of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And when I'm in Philly or when we play in Philly, I listen to Liberty Bell Smack on WWDB.
Now, welcome back to Liberty Bell Smack. And we're going to continue our lip smacking, trash talking, good Philadelphia style, good time with our guests, John Perotto and William Kulik. And if you still are hearing us, you could also see us on Facebook Live on the WWDP page or Liberty Bell Smack. So I'm leaving it to you guys. Go for it, all of you.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't even know where to
follow
start.
Follow up on that last question about, the atmosphere changed big time. You mentioned the kids playing well and everything. They've been nicknamed the daycare now, and they're saying don't let the daycare get hot. But the big thing is, I'll give you a small example, two small ones. Number one, Bryce Harper works harder than anybody, but he always took batting practice underneath the stadium, never out in public, never.
He started in Milwaukee. He started doing it. Yeah.
All of a sudden, Thompson comes in, Bryce is out with the boys. Taking batting practice out in the field and everything. You tell me why. And I think it all goes to the communication with Thompson. He likes it. He's more comfortable and he's out there and he's not, the team is becoming more united.
Unity.
The other
day,
Thompson wears a suit and he did even, you know, before this, he wears a suit every time they travel. And nowadays with major league regulations, the players just don't do that anymore. They go in jeans and t-shirts and everything else for Father's Day. And he did it because he said his father taught him that whenever you're traveling, you should be wearing a suit and everything. So he always did, even back in his days with the Yankees. So all of a sudden, for Father's Day, in honor of Thompson's father, every single Philly player on our trip to Texas in a suit, tie, fancy shoes and everything. It was respect for Thompson, his style, and his father on Father's Day. And you just don't see that very often anymore. So I know there's silly examples, but there's something that's happening in the locker room that just has them more united. I don't know what it is. Is it magic pixie dust? Is it whatever it is? But it's some sort of communication between Thompson and his guys, and they're responding to it.
Yeah, it was an attempt to recapture some tradition, which in baseball, I believe tradition is more important than any other game. That's good. But the unification, like you said, because you can get clowns that don't want to wear the suit. I ain't doing it all. These guys all like each other, which is a great boon to the team. So, yes, I think I didn't know that about Thompson, but I'm glad to hear you say that because the little things, they're really just as important.
Live together for basically 8 months when you start in spring training to the end, and there's no day off. You know, the baseball just keeps going and going and going. And it's a grind, it's a marathon, and Thompson has these guys communicating better, believing in themselves, and playing more like a team.
Not to switch gear, but I'm really curious. What made you, you did answer the question. I was going to ask you why the Red Sox first, and you happened to be there at a Comcast thing, and it was like a perfect storm. Because I thought to myself, wow, if he's trying to do Spanish broadcasts, you would think, you know, the contingency of the population, and I'm thinking Red Sox. What did he did you broadcast with a brogue? That's what I was like. But you had an opportunity because of the Duquette meeting, and then it just switched from there. But you're on. I noticed I couldn't find all of them. First, you had the Eagles and the Sox. I mean, the Eagles and the Panthers for football, and the Phillies and Red Sox. Is there any correlation why those cities, or it was just happenstance?
It's more happenstance. It's more teams. Look, this is a niche market, if we're really honest with ourselves, and it's a hard market to break into. And it's got a corresponding headache of corporate America not understanding how to reach or touch Latinos. And we kind of figured out a little bit of the formula. And so people kept coming to me saying, can you do the Phillies deal came? We don't understand. We get a bigger Latino market. Can you do for us what you're doing for the Red Sox?
Question, before I turn it over to Mark, let me ask you real fast. Your flagship station is CBS Radio in Philly, right?
We're on WTTTM.
Okay.
TTM, which is multicultural radio.
But because of contractual obligations, I'm sure you can't do anything with NBC because they're the owners of Telemundo, which is the biggest Spanish station
we're
in
Philly. We're actually carried on 12 games on Teleexitos, which is a Telemundo product.
Okay.
We're also the SAP broadcast. So if you're watching Tom McCarthy and you don't want to hear it, you want to hear Reese Hoskins' home run in Spanish, you hit the button on your television, change language, you got us. Okay. So we do a lot of work. It's a network. It's not just any one station.
That's great.
I definitely know. I understand that, you know, you got to have that niche. You got to work hard because it's costed us a mortgage to keep Marianne with us, William and John. Sal and I would have been working at Pat's 8 to 5 flipping some cheesesteaks if we didn't take out that mortgage to keep her. But let's switch gears here a little because John and I are sitting here and on top of the bridge here at the Roberto Clemente thing, and the Steelers come into Philly this year. I'm excited for the football, man. And I know my favorite NFC team, I know they changed their name from the Redskins to the Commanders. I'm excited for that NFC East, and John can get the podium and we'll give it over to Sal and you, William. But this is going to be exciting. We're going to find out little interstate rivalry, Pittsburgh and Philly this year.
Yeah, it will be. And, you know, it's because they're in different conferences. They only play every 4 years. So, yeah, it's, you know, kind of a special time when they do play. And, you know, there's even though they don't play frequently, there is that kind of Western Pennsylvania versus Eastern Pennsylvania rivalry there. And it'll be a lot of fun. The Eagles look like they're going to be better this year following the draft and the big trade they made. And, I don't know about the Steelers. It's kind of going to be wait and see. It looks like Mitch Trubisky will start the season at quarterback. How long he stays there before Kenny Pickett, their number one draft pick, takes over remains to be seen. So it looks like the Eagles are a little bit on the up. Their arrow is pointing up for the Eagles, and the arrow might be pointing down a little bit for the Steelers. So it could be a very, very interesting matchup there at the link fall.
Well, you shored up your defense. You gave Micah Fitzpatrick a four-year extension for $73 million. But speaking of defense, Howie Roseman was in 2017 form this offseason. I love what he did. He jazzed up this defense. I tell you what, I really think if we don't do any better at all on offense, and you got to get better because the kid's a year older, all that, but and with the wide receiver we got, I mean, but if we don't get any better at all and this defense does what it should do, I think we're going to make a lot of noise. I mean, we got two of those linemen, the linebacker, the edge rusher, and a lineman from Georgia, the number one defense in college. And I think N'Kobe Dean's going to start right away. I don't know about Davis, but, you know, he's definitely going to get some playing time. Then the trades. We got Hassan Reddick, who's a local kid, went to Temple. He wants, like Trout wants to be a Philly. You know, this kid wants to be an Eagle, and that means a lot. It really does. We traded for A.J. Brown. We got Bradbury as a defensive back to be on the other side of Slay. And we got that other safety from, I think, Arizona recently. I forget his name. Like, we're not done. This guy, he went all out of the way this year. God bless Howie Roseman. Oh, and one last note. Vermeil's going into the Hall of Fame as an Eagle. And he said it himself.
Yeah, big changes on defense.
Yeah.
That was the lacking thing. But the question is always going to come back with the Eagles is the quarterback.
Well,
and you believe in him or not? And you know that they're you could play it either way. But I think that's where it's going to go back to. I will say he spent the most of his draft capital and everything on the defensive side. They signed the cornerback. That's big. I would not have, I guess see why Dean dropped to the third round. It just doesn't make any sense to me that 30 teams passed on him twice. So I got to figure out what's going on there. And then as opposed to the lineman, I think there was a kid from Notre Dame was available, the safety, kid, Hamilton. And I would have liked him, cause we had big time problems in our secondary, but yes, you're right. Howie did a great job and shored up the part of the team that was weakest, and that's all you can ask for from your general manager.
Who do you think's going to take now that Brooks is gone? Who's in line for the right guard? I mean, they're saying Salamola, but he's still hurt. So you got Cam Jenkins, that kid from Iowa. They say he's a lot like Kelsey, and Driscoll's very versatile. Who do you like?
I think it's Driscoll. I'd be surprised if it's not. But that is probably one of the places where the Eagles are the deepest.
Yeah. Oh,
you
definitely.
Know,
definitely.
If you go from left tackle to right tackle, there aren't too many teams in the NFL with an offensive line like that.
They routinely say they're one of the best lines in the league, and you know, I don't even see that sometimes. I mean, they're good, they're solid, but I don't see them as one of the best. But that's because of that guy in the middle. He's a freak of nature. He's too
All
small. He's too small, but nobody told him. you know.
So.
Well, here, you know, William, like I'm going to be your personal promoter out here in Los Angeles. Anytime the Phillies are on or the Eagles, I'm going to tell them to turn the volume up so we can hear the Spanish broadcast of the Phillies and Eagles out here. But with a couple minutes left in this show, can you give us a rundown on broadcasting a little bit of baseball and football on how you sound? We'd love to hear it on WWDB, man.
my wife's giving me a little standing ovation over here.
Yeah, well, here we go, man. We'll make it feel like, you know.
Aquí viene el lanzamiento. Siéntate directamente al pino, por favor. That was a nice little strikeout call for you. Yeah.
And his accent was so good, he was actually talking in German, but you couldn't tell.
I sent Marianne a home run call. I don't know can you hit play on your system there, Marianne?
Not on here, because you have sent it to me in a text.
No, I sent
Brett,
it to
Brett. I think Brett can, but he's checking for his next casting call.
Let me check.
But we'll hold up on that one. But, you know, when you look at it, you know, soccer's coming into Philly. Have you thrown your hat in the ring on that one?
I haven't, but Philly got the World Cup's coming here.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, this will be, and
they're one of 13.
It's the same year the Phillies have the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So it's going to be in 26.
It's going to be a tour to World Cup. There's one of 13 U.S. city host cities, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be good. I'm not really a big soccer fan, but with the World Cup, I pay attention for posterity's sake and all, you know, the usual villains, you know. I mean, Italy's usually good, Argentina, but lately, you know, you've had Northern European teams rising to the occasion. So it'll be good to see. I'll pay attention.
There you go.
John's over on the other side. John, you've covered like 20-something All-Star games. I think one of the best was the one in Seattle, and I'm still trying to figure out why this guy can't get in the Hall of Fame. Dave Parker's throw at Dave Parker, the Cobra, need to be in the Hall of Fame, and that must have been one hell of an All-Star game there in Seattle. Any thought to that one?
Yeah, that was before I was covering baseball, but I certainly remember it very clearly from 1979, believe it or not, 43 years that game at the Kingdome when he threw out two runners on the bases. It was as far as Hall of Fame, don't blame me. I voted for him when he was on the ballot. I voted for him. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He's been up for on the Veterans Committee ballot a couple times, which I am not a part of, the Veterans Committee. It's a very smaller committee, only 15 or 16 people. Why he isn't in, I don't know. It baffles me just as much as it does that Philly's great Dick Allen is not in the Hall of Fame. Those are two players who were overlooked. And, you know, I hate to say it, but as outspoken black men, I just wonder if that hurts them with the establishment that is on the Hall of Fame Veterans Committee.
Add Louis Tien to that list, another black man, and you check his numbers. You put Louis Tien's numbers up against Mike Mussina or something, and you're going to see a guy who's been cheated.
Yeah. Real quick, because we got to go. John, what was your favorite World Series you ever covered? Because I wrote a book about the World Series. I'm just curious. You give me the year, see if I can remember who it was.
Well, I would say one of the more recent ones, actually, 2016. It's just very
Cubs.
Intriguing.
Cubs.
Yeah. And you know, a great storyline. Yeah.
Yes, very, very good. And they're, one of their heroes is the manager today, although he's on the hot seat. But you know, it's a shame.
Well, they're not very good. They've been here in Pittsburgh the last 4 days, and they were not very good, the Cubs. But that was just a great World Series. Not only were the Cubs – hadn't won World Series on time, but neither had the Indians, and even Cleveland would have won that World Series. It would have been a great story for another longtime franchise, and it was just a great series. Terry Francona and Joe Maddon, two of my dear friends in the game of baseball, and you know, for them to manage against each other, and it was just a lot of fun. It was a very good series, and you know, you really couldn't beat the storyline. Cubs finally winning after 108 years
with the rain in the ninth inning too. It was crazy in Game 7.
If you guys had told me John was coming on the show, I would have brought my two World Series rings because I've had the honor to done the 2004.
John's going to get the petition going to get Italy in the World Cup.
Well, we can
I
get
think
them
it's a travesty.
We can get them both on together again and have
Here's
that arranged.
Ring.
Oh, look at
that. Wow.
I know on radio you can't see it, but it's absolutely gorgeous.
And here's my Eagles one right alongside.
Wow.
Wow. That's
and
awesome.
Then I don't think I have a photo of the Red Sox, but I've been blessed. I did the Red Sox in 04 and 07, came over to Philly 08, won there, and then we get the Super Bowl in 18. So I'm blessed.
A friend of mine, Curtis Laskanik over there, and Theo used to be the media relations in San Diego, went to Boston and turned that whole thing around. Boy, that was remarkable back then.
Well, speaking of blessed, I can't believe it, guys, but the time has passed by so fast with both John and William or Bill. I'm not sure which one you like to be
Gringo
called. Gringo Malo.
Life there, man.
John, if anybody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
I'm on Twitter at J, or capital J, capital P, E-R-R-O. T-T-O, and I'm also on Facebook, John Ferrato, and Google me, and I'm sure you'll be able to find my email address, and, a lot of different ways you can find me. I don't hide. I'm in plain sight here in Pittsburgh, PA.
And you could find him at any Arby's, probably.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's the original Arby's or the horsey radish. You got to put a lot of that horsey radish sauce on.
Absolutely. Mr. Gringo Malo, if we wanted to get in touch with you, Bill, how do we do that?
Twitter, Instagram are probably the two best. It's El Gringo Malo 365, all one word, no spaces. So EL Gringo, GRINGO, Malo, MALO 365 on both Twitter and Instagram.
Well, I want to thank you both, John and Bill and Gringo Malo. See, I'm not going to stop saying that now. And I just want to thank you guys for being on Liberty Bell Smack with us tonight. And we love to end every show with a chant. Can you hold on for just 2 minutes? Because we'd love to have you be a part of it.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. So, okay. Mark, Sal, it's another great show. And next week, we have best-selling author Peter Golenbach and Fox Sports Radio sports commentator and voiceover artist Eddie Garcia. They will be with us next week as well. So I think that
it's going to be hard to top the guys we had today, but man, it just keeps rolling. And just to finish that thought, Bryce Harper plays the game like Pete Rose. I love Bryce Harper. And you could tell him I said that, William. can you?
I'll do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And for anybody who's looking for Sal Tartaglia's book, World Series Chronology, you can find that at Amazon.com. And he has recently lowered the price, so please pick up your copy today. And guys, I'd like to tell you, while we were here, and they're nice and silent, but we had some members of Nectar, the legendary rock band, with yours truly. And we had Mick Brockett, and we had Mo Moore and Rich Shalanda. They were creating music today along with Kendall Scott. And this was the album, Nectar, The Other Side. If you haven't picked it up yet, you can watch vinyl and CD of the making of, yours truly might have a guest spot on that DVD, and you could pick that up at nectarsmusic.com. That's NEKTARS.com. There's Mick, see? Nectar is in the house. And I'd love to tell you that... That's another wrap up. I don't know what else to say, guys. It's been fantastic. And if you're tuning in, you've been listening to Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. We're here every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's prime time, drive time for that lip smacking, trash talking good Philadelphia style. And I'm Marian Costello, Mark Mancini, and Sal Tartaglia for Liberty Bell Smack. Now, John, Bill, are you ready? Our countdown is we count it down from 5 to 1, like New Year's Eve, and then we all say Liberty Bell Smack all together. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Count it down with me. 5.
5.
4. 3.
2. 1. Liberty Bell Smack.
That's what I'm talking about.